From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Ole Miss, Arkansas, Pine Bluff tonight at Swayze Field. The Rebels coming back home after a four-game road trip where they went 2-2, beating Southern Miss and Hattiesburg, and then losing 2 out of 3 to LSU at Alex Box Stadium. Greer Holston, the freshman from Long Beach, Mississippi, IMG Academy, will get the ball tonight for Ole Miss in that one. Pine Bluff, SWAC team, not very good, win the game. Your RPI is going to be hurt either way, but not nearly as hurt as if you would happen to lose it. Pine Bluff does have a win over Alabama this year, but I'm not sure what that says. Might say more about the Tide than it does the Golden Lions, as we found out. Also, Pine Bluff in the main, Neil, we were told by several people. I never saw that until then.
I did. It was cool. I did not realize that, but I had a new appreciation for the mascot.
It was well done.
It was well done. Is well done, I should say.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's not as good as maybe like the MB with the glove with the Brewers or things like that.
No. It's up there. It's not a masterpiece, but it's very good. The MB is fantastic.
You know, the Expos did it spelled out whatever too, like the Montreal Baseball Club or whatever it was.
ELB.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Have you seen the numbers? This, speaking of Brewers, that this Marcus Thames is putting up. He spent the last 3 seasons in Korea.
Is it Thames? Is it Thames?
It's Thames.
Is it Thames?
Thames. Okay. Pull up his stat line. It is unreal. You can't get him out.
So how'd he end up there? What was the how'd they get
his
rights?
They took the gamble on him. Nobody else wanted to gamble on him. He was played in Korea for 3 seasons. It was like Babe Ruth of Korea.
But he wasn't as expensive as Otani's going to be.
No, he was not as expensive as Shohei Ohtani will be.
Shohei is going to be quite expensive.
Not my money, but I hope it's Tom Ricketts' money. I'll tell you that. I'll say that much.
That's a good point. Today on the show, as we teased yesterday, we're going to speak with the president of the Bourne Braves from the Cape League. Greg Kessinger is going to play for her this year, and then 10 other Ole Miss Rebels are in the Cape League this summer too. Nicole Norkevicius.
That's very good.
Norkevicius. I've struggled with this for a couple of days now.
You're like me with Eustace.
See, and I've got Furmanophagus without a problem.
I can't do it. Furmanophagus, I can't do it.
So
I just say Eustace.
Eustace.
And that works. People know who I'm referring to.
I saw Sebastian did well in that Portsmouth Invitational thing.
He's going to be a very good player in Europe.
Big celebrity over there.
He'll do great.
Good looking dude, speaks well.
Very personable.
You got to think at some point he's going to have an overseas TV career.
Yeah.
If he wants it.
I think it's funny. Sometimes you'll say that and people will get, like, for lack of a better word, Chase, pissed at you. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, I mean just that. He's going to go to Europe. He's going to be a great player, a really good player over there. He's going to make a lot of money. He's going to be popular. And when basketball's over, he'll be a TV person, probably a commentator or something. He'll be really good.
And that's okay.
He will have a very good life, a better life than most, and he deserves it. He's a really unique kid. But that doesn't make him an NBA player, and that's okay. My children aren't growing up to be NBA players, and they're going to be okay. You have to have a certain skill set to be an NBA player. And not having it doesn't make you a lesser human being. You're not insulting the person. You're just keeping it real.
Noticing this on Twitter all of a sudden, Shaq's kid committed to Arizona last night.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, just.
Yeah. He didn't go to LSU.
No.
Got to be a lot of anger down in Baton Rouge.
We didn't go to Ole Miss, though. We went to Arizona.
That's true.
It's completely different.
Totally different.
Okay. You know, a few things before we talk some Cape baseball. First, as always, Oxford Exxon on Highway 6 West. Check them out. PlentyCard, PLENTI.com. Great place to go to see all the ways they can save you money and help you. Nationwide, Rite Aid, Hulu, among the many retailers that partner with the Plenty program to save you money. American Express, also a partner with that. Get the lunch specials, $4.99. Get the ribs. Get the crystal coupon on the back of your baseball tickets tonight. Three-egg breakfast, $3.99 for that. So many options, great ways to improve your day with the Oxford Exxon and Oxford Crystal. And, again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are indeed. Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And then take that quote. If you need to, shop it around. If that makes you feel better, do it. It's cool. When you end up coming back to Clark Ford and making your deal, let him and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they have done for people, as we've been telling you, from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi and everywhere in between. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's easy. It's simple. Work your deal. At the end of your deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the podcast. I heard about the dealership on the podcast. $500 off right there, off the bottom line, just by saying that at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com.
It's been a, I don't know what to call it, 24 hours here of really just tragedy all the way around. The Cleveland Facebook guy kills himself in Erie, Pennsylvania yesterday, shortly after we got off the podcast. And then this morning, everybody waking up to news that former Florida Gator, former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez has hanged himself in his cell. Found around 3:45 this morning, pronounced dead at 4:07 a.m. there somewhere around Boston. I don't know exactly where that prison is.
It's actually not far at all from Foxborough.
Really?
Where the Patriots play. I was reading a story that's built around his brother. Fascinating story. It's a tragic story. It is.
That's the word.
And I'm not empathizing or sympathizing with Aaron Hernandez at all. It's very clear that he murdered Odin Lloyd. It's probable that he killed the two people that he was just found not guilty of. There's a certain technicality there. I'm not criticizing the jurors. You're told to find beyond a reasonable doubt, and there was probably a reasonable doubt based on the one witness involved in the case.
Sure.
Doesn't mean that he didn't do it. I understand what the jury did, and I respect it. But this was a guy that was an elite athlete, goes to Florida. Ironically, at one point was a roommate of Tim Tebow's, and then has an exceptional college career for, at the time, probably the elite program in the country, goes to the New England Patriots, by all accounts a world-class organization, has immediate success, signs a $40 million deal, and then can't control the people around him. And ends up hanging himself in a jail cell. Who possibly could have predicted 4 years ago that Aaron Hernandez will die in 2017 hanging himself in a prison? It's incredible.
Look, I'm really not going to stay on this topic. It's a deal where we have no way to know the demons, what went on with him at all. I mentioned to you earlier today, though, to me it was such strange timing considering what had just happened. He was acquitted of two other murders. potentially played a role in helping him appeal or something with his conviction. I don't know. I thought, you know, not like he just now is, you know, got to jail and couldn't handle it after a week. I mean, it would probably become fairly routine for him if jail can be routine for anyone, or prison for that matter.
Yeah, I just stumbled across something.
Okay.
Had a weird day Friday. Acquitted of two murders that would have created, and I say this, I'm trying to be careful with how I say this because I don't want to offend anyone. I believe he murdered Odin Lloyd. Don't get me wrong, okay? But from a legal standpoint, the motive in that case was believed to be that Lloyd knew about Hernandez's involvement in the other two killings of the two immigrants in Boston that he was just acquitted of. So from a legal standpoint, if he were to be granted a retrial, motive in the Lloyd case would be, again, become questionable, because it wouldn't be that, because he was acquitted of that.
Yeah.
However, in court on Friday, he saw his former fiance, Cheyenne Jenkins, and his now 4-year-old daughter.
Right.
And that might have been too much.
That's fair.
So, the end of that day, you go back to prison and you realize, I'm not going to see that little girl grow up. I don't know. I would guess, I've never been to prison. I've never been locked up. The worst crime I've probably ever committed is speeding. I'm not much of a criminal. I'm scared of law enforcement way too much to start committing a bunch of crimes. I'm guessing that prison sucks. I'm guessing that prison is a place where you lose your mind. That prison is a place where you go insane.
I saw noted now he was in general pop, was no longer in a safe house, for lack of a better word, unit.
It might have just been too much.
His NFL career ends with him playing in 38 games, 1,956 yards receiving, his best year 2011 with the Patriots. 14 games, 79 catches, 910 yards, 11.5 per catch, 7 touchdowns, 46 catches for first downs. So, crazy. And the other one, mental illness, right?
Yeah, I would think.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So many ways. So anyway.
Just, you know, a guy that was, I guess, broken and evil. And you can be both. You can be both. You can be a sociopath and broken at the same time. People change too. I mean, we've seen people change. See, people change. Life happens. And some people can't handle adversity. Some people can't handle success. Some people can't handle money. Some people can't handle tragedy. Life is different for all of us, and different people react to different things in different ways. You go back and read about Aaron Hernandez and the death of his father, Dennis, was a cataclysmic moment in his life. He was 16, and he never really recovered.
It's always complex.
Always. That's why when people do the knee-jerk, black and white thing on stuff, life's never that way. I don't, we were talking about, we're going to get into it here, the situation at Ole Miss with the defacing of the property, and everyone wants to make a white black thing or a, and when I say white black, I don't mean race white black. I mean, you're either guilty or you're innocent, or you're good or you're bad. And I think life's more complicated than that. Typically, there's shades of gray in everything, to me, for the most part. things are more complicated than that. I coach a little league team. There's 12 kids on it. They're all the same age. They all live in the same general area. They're all uniquely different kids. They come from different places, different backgrounds, different family structure, different socioeconomic situations. Predictably, they're different kids. And so you can put them all in the same uniform and let them play on the same field. They're not the same kid. It's like that in every other walk of life as well.
Kind of go here for a second. Yesterday afternoon, it became public, and I want to phrase this correctly. I don't want to make this about something I'm not trying to make it about. Yesterday, it came out that Kirby Smart was implementing additional restrictions on media covering spring football practice, essentially saying that injuries, non-contact jerseys, injuries seen in front of media can't be reported until Smart was asked. That was seen by most fans, people covering, people following college football from a fan base audience standpoint. One of two ways, kind of black and white like you're talking, either you're there under the coach allowing you to be, it is him asking something, and you should respect that opinion. Others saying that you can't restrict what you see with your own eyes, obviously. Got to ask this. At Ole Miss, that's been the general policy. However, I will give Hugh Freeze a lot of credit. He's incredibly forthcoming after practice. They don't try to cover it up or hide it. It's just, hey, let us comment before you go crazy with it. I don't hate it because it's never a restriction on you seeing it. It's just, hey, let us tell the family. Let us give us a minute to at least see this out. I don't really have an issue with that policy.
I don't either. The only thing I go back and forth on this a little bit. So you go to a practice, right? And kids are there in non-contact jerseys. Those kids knew going into practice they weren't fully practicing. Mm-hmm. My guess is that the families knew too.
Well, I was more talking about like when we saw, you know, DT tear an ACL on the field, right, or something along those lines.
Well, that's a great example because that day that happened.
This is Houston Nutt. This is 2010.
10. Things were going pretty good. They're inside the IPF.
It's a spring practice after the Cotton Bowl, I think.
Going through a basic linebacker drill.
Something that we watch without really looking at every single day, pretty much.
And I was standing down there with Kyle Vesey.
That's right.
And we were watching that drill.
For whatever reason.
Goofing around, probably talking Cubs Cardinals, making fun of each other. Because Kyle and I both have a very similar approach to sports media, which is, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'll wait for the game. I got this job because of my ability to write and tell a story, not because of my ability to break down linebacker play.
Yes. Your chalkboard acumen is not high.
No, I never went to football 101 either. I learned how to write. I knew how to write. I mean, you can't teach somebody how to write. They either know how to write or they don't. I can write. I can tell a story. I can use words to convey emotion. That's the reason I got the job that I got, not because of my ability to look at linebackers. Anyway, we see DT Shackelford go down, and if I'm honest, I heard something pop. If you had asked, in fact, I said it in that moment. I said, he just tore his ACL. That's what I said out loud to Kyle and a couple other people that were standing there. So we leave practice.
We were ushered away, though. There was a change in...
Yeah, they knew it
was bad. There was a change in the moment because it was not as strict necessarily under... It was different under Nutt. No,
it wasn't regimented, but we were asked to leave.
We were put in a room elsewhere in the Manning Center.
I tweeted...
And at this point, there was no policy about that.
There was no policy about tweeting. But had there been, I still would have had a decision to make. I knew he had suffered a knee injury, and all I said was that he left practice with medical people. They were looking at his knee. Didn't say he tore a knee. I didn't know what he did. Now, I knew what he did.
But yeah, didn't have it, though. Yeah.
But I didn't know, and I didn't pretend to know. And I didn't say, hey, it really looked bad, but I just said he left.
You gave no commentary.
No commentary at all. And at the end of that practice, World War II broke out, three broke out, whatever number you want to throw on it. They were furious that we tweeted that. What if his family saw that? I get that, but I'm a reporter, and I know what I saw. I was there. I can't unsee it. And at the end of the day, it's my job is to report. And so if I go to a practice and the policy is, that's why I don't like this policy. I go to a practice and let's take Ole Miss out of it. I go to practice at Kennesaw State.
Okay.
And the running back, Johnny Joe Johnson, breaks his leg. And I see it. It's broken.
Okay.
There's 30 other reporters there. Why am I not reporting what I just saw?
I guess my point is there's two differences in this a little bit, the way I'm reading it. At Ole Miss, it's just wait for practice to end. Yeah. Period. Don't unsee. Don't even really wait for Freeze to comment. Just wait on practice to end.
And the problem with that?
And some of that is reporters leaving early to beat you if you don't like it. There's reasons for that guideline. So anyway, but with Georgia.
And there's public. They're often public people there.
Right.
And they go, they text it out, and it's everywhere before you know it. And it's like, I got.
Beat's not the right word.
Beat's not the right word, but we didn't report this in a timely manner out of courtesy that is not shared by everybody else here, and there is no repercussion for the people who violate the policy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the other point of this, though, is that the way I'm operating the one from Georgia is until Smart comments, what if Kirby goes, no,
he's good? Well, that's the point. That's the point. That's exactly.
Yeah, it's complete cover-up at Georgia.
That's exactly. They want you to be complicit in a cover-up. Hey, I noticed that. I don't even know Georgia players' names. I noticed that Jeb Blazevich is in a no-contact jersey.
Yeah, Jacob Eason today was on a bike for 45 minutes.
No comment. So is that no comment? Like you're, I'm not talking about injuries, and you can't write about injuries. What? What do you mean I can't write about injuries? You don't get to tell me what I can write. And so Kirby's response was, "Well, I'll just shut down practice to media." I think he told them it was a privilege to come to practice. That's not the word I'd use, Kirby. I'm in the minority in our field. I don't like where it's headed. I've not liked it for a long time as it pertains to college sports with coaches and the privacy. And then they have sites of their own that are used to publicize. Now, it's used to propagandize, if we're being honest. You agree?
Yeah, I am. I was looking for something else along those
lines. I know. So we're asked, it's one thing, I don't like where it's headed with in an attempt to control media. I don't like where it's headed. I did not like what happened at Ole Miss this spring. It's our first access to players since they were told about a bowl ban. We, of course, asked those players their thoughts on the bowl ban. I think that's a legitimate question. I think it's a legitimate line of questioning. We were then asked, not to ask players those questions anymore. And it was inferred, or implied, I should say, that if you continue to, you might not get the access. I did not like that.
Well, there's two things here for me. One, it's like Michigan. Jim Harbaugh didn't speak to the media
at all
the entire spring. The
entire spring.
The entire practice. Saw in a story online, I haven't looked at this, but maybe it's changed, but at that point the story was written, there weren't even rosters given out at the spring game, and there weren't even numbers listed on their website. Complete blackout at Michigan.
Better win.
At Georgia, kind of the same thing. You've got all these heavy restrictions. You've got all this stuff going on. There's two points. One, it's the disservice to the fans. People that are trying to spend discretionary income. It's not a disservice to the media. Whatever. We'll report or not report. It's our job. Fine. We'll find a way to do it. I'll get to that. That's my point number two.
Yeah.
Point number one, though, it's a disservice to the fans. The fan base, the people that dedicate so much of their emotional capital to your program, their money to your program, their time, at the sake of their own families at times, depending on how you're handling a Saturday, it invested in so many ways that, as we've said, you're creating sterile environments, you're creating a lack of ability to get honest interpretation about the team. It's just, and I know so many schools are going to go, well, if you win, no, it's more than that. It's more than just the game. For so many fans, it's a lifestyle. It's what I do. It's what I want to know in the mornings. It's the people I care about. And that's being restricted, and that's completely misguided at so many of these programs, too.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? It doesn't happen in the NFL.
It's a lot of different things.
It doesn't happen in college baseball, sports that you cover a ton. Mm-hmm. These restrictions that happen in football do not happen in college baseball. Why do you think that is? You get to know players in college baseball.
Yeah.
If an Ole Miss baseball fan wants to get to know Tate Blackman, they can by reading y'all's work.
Yeah.
If they want to get to know Gray Kessinger over the next 3 years, they get to know Gray Kessinger by reading your work. They can get to know Gray Kessinger and never, ever once talk to Gray Kessinger. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Fear, competition.
Fear of?
Kids saying stupid stuff. I mean, I don't know. A lot of things. Just when so much money gets involved, so does paranoia.
Sure.
They increase together simultaneously. My second point, though, and I think you'll agree with this.
Okay.
We try to avoid this at times, but everybody's hit by this a little bit, especially with monotony of the day after day after day.
Yeah.
A lot of media is inherently lazy.
Yes.
So if you provide players and sound bites and clips and some access, they'll stop.
Yeah, there's a lot of media, and sometimes we fall into this.
I know.
It's easy.
You have to be careful.
There's a lot of media that sometimes, I mean, look, media have lives too.
If you provide the snack and you throw a bone, they'll normally take the bone and chill. Here's the problem, though.
Yeah. Cut the bone out.
Cut the bone out, and I think Georgia is going to experience this, honestly. If Kirby doesn't come off this.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had a unified front yesterday. They had Rivals 24/7, the AJC, the Macon newspaper. A very unified front as a beat of going, no, here's what we'll do, here's what we'll not do, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. For reporters, for media, hate them, like them, whatever, it's their job. It's the way they feed their family. They will be lazy if you will let them be lazy. They'll also get really, really freaking motivated when you don't allow them to be. It's throwing the dog out into the wild that has the ability to sustain itself out in the wild. You'd have been much better off with that dog domesticated. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have Georgia.
Mistake Houston Nutt made with me, if we're being perfectly honest.
Now, you're going to have a situation where Georgia is going to have media members quoting every booster, every parent, and going, a word we've used so much, rogue, for lack of a better word, crazy. And Kirby thinks he's got a problem right now. He's about to have a program covered as it's kind of funny. Really, as comprehensively as possible with him cutting access.
It's why sometimes I say to myself, when people kind of make, and don't get me wrong, nobody at Ole Miss made a threat.
No.
No threat. But it was implied. And I thought to myself a couple of times, you know, it'd kind of be fun. Close it down.
Texas has done this to a certain extent because they've closed it up so much that a lot of Texas reporters have just quoted whomever.
It backfired.
Well, it does backfire. It's going to backfire.
It backfires. Part of me goes,
there's going to be content.
A part of me goes, do it. It might be fun. Because now some of the stuff that you don't do because, it's not worth it. Why not? I got to get something. Now you're talking to parents. And let me let you in on something. Parents talk. Especially the parents of disgruntled players. They talk. Especially if you tell them, I won't use your name. A parent of a player. And when you shut it all down and there's still a thirst for information out there, some of the rules change. Some of the shades of gray change.
Yeah.
This isn't me talking about Ole Miss at all. This is me talking about what I see in college football in general. I don't know where this is coming from. It's been happening for a while now, and it doesn't happen anywhere else. I don't understand it. It doesn't happen in Major League Baseball. Those are not, most of those clubhouses are not a collection of geniuses. Those are multi-million dollar organizations. I mean, what's the Boston Red Sox valued at? What's the value?
Good bit.
200 and something billion dollars?
Well, boy, not that, but.
I mean, I have no idea. Seriously, it's a ton of money. Not 200. I'm sorry, 2.7 something billion. I think that is the number. Players talk. Not every player in there made a 34 on the ACT. So, I don't. You cover the Dallas Cowboys. You get access to players. Not all of the players on the Cowboys are Mensa.
2.7
billion. 270 billion be a lot. NBA.
Just ahead of the Cubs, by the way.
NBA, locker rooms are open before games. Locker rooms are open after games. Players talk.
And you have some dust-ups, and everybody moves on. It's all good.
Sure. And people say stuff that's regrettable, and they apologize. But you get insight. So if you are a Milwaukee Bucks fan, you can read two or three different publications and get to know the players.
Yeah.
And that makes you want to go spend the money. I don't know why. I think it's college football is the one sport that, for whatever reason, has gotten super paranoid. And I don't know what it's about.
They've been able to be. It hasn't cost them anything.
My one theory is that for whatever reason, college football, more than any other sport, seems to attract the fan media element more than anything else I can think of. And I do believe a lot of coaches begin, and Kirby Smart, I suspect, falls into this, begin to look at that media as traditional, normal media. And when other media isn't that way, they view them as being overly negative. When in reality, they're just doing what they've always done. But now it's whatever you hold as a standard. I mean, look, if you're a single guy and you're looking for a date and Jessica Alba is your
baseline,
listen, fella, gonna be some slim pickings. If you hold a publication that is just a collection of rose, what's the word I'm looking
for? Well, it's not even that. It's willing to be complicit.
Willing to be totally complicit.
Yeah.
If that becomes the baseline, well then, yeah, you look at the AP is pretty rough.
Say, Smart, just my opinion. Obviously, I've covered him a total of one game. Talked to a lot of people, heard a lot. He's coming off as a copy of a copy of a copy that does not know how to be himself.
Yeah.
And he is doing it without, A, Nick Saban's winning capital.
Yeah.
And two, Saban's nuance for how he handles some media things. Kirby is just locked down with me or against me. Nick uses the media. He sends messages through the media.
Yeah.
Kirby's not doing that. Kirby's just being a jackass.
Yeah.
There's a difference. So.
Well, and, you know.
When you lose.
Saban has, they have media opportunities. Saban will play games with media, but I don't know. You know, Kirby was at Alabama for how long?
Pretty well.
9, 10 years? Really had very limited media access for him during that time. And so he gets a head coaching job, and he's not really able to handle the media. Jim McElwain was at Alabama for a little while, but then he went off to Colorado State as a head coach, and that has served, from a media standpoint, has served him well because he goes to Florida, and he's really good with the media. And frankly, that has given him some slack.
Media, Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl's bad with the media.
Great
example. Gone right now.
It's a great example. But Bruce Pearl is exceptional with the media. Media's people, guys. They're just people. They're dudes with kids, women with kids. And you like people. There are people that I've covered that I really like. There are people that I've covered that I really don't like. I'm a person. I try to be completely objective as it pertains to that, but that's hard. I'm a human being. I have feelings.
And you're going to do your work, and you're going to go home, and everybody's going to turn on their TV show and pour their glass of whatever. And
but your point that you made earlier is the point that I don't think some people in athletics get. There's a bunch of times. You've been there. You've got a little girl at home. I need to get done. Carly Ann's got an ear infection. Kara's about to lose her damn mind. There's a show on I want to watch. Saints play Monday night. Whatever. There's stuff. Yeah, yeah. You're a person. I need to get done. Oh, you're going to give me Ken Webster and Freeze is going to talk for a few minutes? Yeah, it's not exactly compelling shit, but you know what? I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this thrown up. Done.
Yeah, in your mind, you're going, okay, Freeze will take 20 minutes. Webster, that could be a video.
Yeah, you hear the quote, and you're like, okay, I can build around that quote. Yeah. Oh, good, a second quote. I'm done. Video.
Yeah.
Couple of notes. So-and-so practiced. Still not 100%, but getting better. Good. So-and-so's out. All right, who are they playing this week?
Alabama's quarterback's banged up.
Playing right, Alabama. Jalen Hurts.
Ankle injury.
Didn't practice on Tuesday. I asked about the backup quarterback. I got a BS quote, but I'm going to throw it in there. Done.
Yeah.
You take all that away, and the truth is, what do? You start going, I got to come up with something.
Well, I think I still have content to deliver. So and now so, I don't have Ken Webster. I don't have Hugh Freeze. Well, all right. Ken's mom. How's his knee?
Start
What's going
that.
On?
And then she says she's mad about something.
He's not getting around real well.
Not getting around.
Complete hypothetical, by the way.
Total hypothetical. Right. Not particularly happy with the way that this is not a fair example, but we're using it anyway. Total hypothetical. Yeah. Not particularly happy with the way that it was handled medically. Whoa, there's your headline. Want to hurt recruiting? That'll hurt recruiting.
Yeah.
That's what's fascinating about this, and I don't. The other thing that's interesting is I think the sports information people, media relations people who are supposed to be liaisons, I don't really think they can be anymore because they're not coming from a position of neutrality. They have two things going on that hurt them. One, they're having to supply information for a blog that is supposed to compete against the media that's covering their program. And two, they're working for coaches who can fire them. So you can't really stand up to the coach and say, Coach, look at it from Sports Illustrated's perspective. You know what? I'm going to find somebody who's going to look at it from my perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at Georgia. That's Claude Felton, man. Dude's been at Georgia longer than – he's been at Georgia since the North burned down Atlanta.
incredibly highly regarded in his field, and he's dealing with this.
Incredibly highly regarded in his field, incredibly highly regarded by the people in our field who deal with God. I mean, dude's a legend.
It's kind of your point, though, is if it happened in there, everywhere.
If it happens there, what's it going to happen to a 32-year-old guy who's not a legend someplace, who just got a sports information, that got the head football gig someplace, and he's got a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old at home? He can't afford to stand up to the coach. So when the coach goes, hey, no injury stuff, he's like, hey, guys, no injury stuff. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And when it gets adversarial, and we're headed there, when it gets adversarial, if you're a coach, man, you better win.
Yeah.
So.
And you meant that weird, just in a general sense.
Yeah, well, I don't mean the Ole Miss beat. I mean all of it.
Yeah.
It's across the board in college football.
Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCut's Lawn and Landscape. MasterCut, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving the Oxford, Tupelo, and surrounding areas. Focus on two philosophies been telling you about. Do what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it. Have open and honest communication with their customers as well as employees. Last night, I sent a text to them trying to make sure of certain days, make sure of a couple different things. Done immediately, no problems at all. No job too large or small for MasterCut's. Some of the services include landscape design and installation, lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf installation. They do holiday lighting as well. So if you would like some help, free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Remember, if you sign up for an annual contract, mention the podcast, first cut is on them.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. It's H-A at harryalexander.com is his email. harryalexander.com is the website. Go to it. Check it out. It's updated daily. All of the condos, houses in the Oxford area that you might be interested in, they're all on that site. You can filter through by what you're looking for and then let Harry take care of you. He will. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, whether it be a new or a certified pre-owned vehicle, they've got it at Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a lease, you want to drive a new vehicle but not pay the new vehicle prices, they can handle that as well at Grenada Nissan, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Snooze Mattress Company, 2202 Jackson Avenue West in Oxford. They've got everything you're looking for in the bedding industry. You want the Jameson mattress, Tempur-Pedic, it's all there. Sheets, accessories, mattress protectors, bed frames, the delivery and setup, very personalized. At Snooze, they'll take great care of you. Get in touch with Jacob Williams and the team there at Snooze. It's gosnooze.com.
Now let's talk a little Cape League baseball with Nicole Neal. Norkovicius.
Norkovicius.
Norka.
Norkovicius.
Yeah.
Norkovicius.
Okay. I'm never going to get this
You've
right.
You got it.
I'm hesitant.
You've got it, and yet you're second-guessing yourself.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, okay, now on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Okay, Nicole, thanks for taking some time with us this morning. I know you're on the road a little while. We won't keep you near that long as you're traveling a couple states over. I'm kind of curious. I told you I wouldn't harp on this, but I do have to wonder, when people talk to you, especially from down here or anyone not from the Cape area, is 99% of what they know coming from Summer Catch?
Probably 99% of it, if they aren't playing from a school that has had a lot of players that have played up here.
All jokes aside, I mean, did that provide you guys some exposure, or was it more almost kind of irritating just because maybe misconceptions and different things from that film?
Irritating, probably. I grew up on the Cape. I graduated from one of the local high schools where the Whitey Red Sox play. So I think the one good thing about that movie is showing how local talent or local players aspire to also play in the Cape League. And there has been some decent success stories, but otherwise the rest was a bit glamorized.
You're in your fifth year as president. You and your family have been hosting since 2010. How did you kind of get involved? I mean, you said you grew up in the area, obviously, but what made this important for you to dedicate your time and kind of your life to?
I have two young boys. I would say they're young, but I have a 14 and 11 and a half year old that loves sports and loves baseball. And I grew up playing high school sports for one of the prior past commissioners of the league, and just love sports and baseball myself. So it's been a great experience.
On the whole, I mean, I would assume it's been obviously a rewarding thing and all. How does it kind of work, though, from a host family standpoint of, okay, a kid knows he's going to the Cape? Kind of take me through that process of getting the invite all the way through to getting their, you know, their boarding and kind of their situation when they get up there.
It's different with each franchise as far as the recruiting process. Our field manager is in charge of our recruiting, mostly through his, you know, connections with various colleges. And the roster's usually set between September and early January with most of our contract players and temp players. And the placements with host families, we don't even start thinking of until May, only because so many times the roster is so fluid, especially, you know, in the early spring, whether it's with who goes on to regionals and super regionals, injuries, academics, or oftentimes coaches hold their players and don't actually send them. So you need to be flexible as a host family on who you're going to get. But the players don't really find out with too much notice unless they're coming back for a second summer, and you open your house up to a new kid for the summer, whether it's one or two players. We've hosted two players for the last 5 years. So, you know, the what's required versus what happens is varies, because we have some very dedicated host families. You know, we require a meal, a room, and access to a washer and dryer and Wi-Fi, but oftentimes people just open up their entire house and their family to these players. I've actually had players' parents stay with me briefly, depending on how, you know, my family hits it off with the various players.
I think during the time that you and I have kind of spoken over direct message the last few weeks, you've hosted several Mississippi connections. I know Jake Mangum was in Bourne last year, and then Will Allen and Halton Buchanan a few years ago as well, right?
Yes, well, we hosted Jake last year. The following year, or the previous year before that, we hosted Reed Humphreys also.
Okay.
So those are two state players recently, and then we did host Will Allen, Halton Buchanan, and the Bourne Braves have had several Old Miss players and Mississippi State players over the years. So definitely a feeder through some of the schools down in Mississippi and a lot of the SEC schools.
Well, you know, obviously all those guys are known around here. Just kind of curious, though, I mean, how close are you able to kind of get with the players? I mean, have you been able to, can you continue contact with any of them after the fact? I mean, what sort of connection has been made either with the players and you guys or even with your children, as I'm sure that's a neat experience for them?
I keep in touch with Jake. I talk or text with him weekly. My family's quite close to the Humphreys, actually. My older son actually had to have some elbow surgery recently, and we called. We talked to him on Christmas. We talked to him and his family all the time. So it depends on with different families, but when we hosted Halton Buchanan, he stayed with us for 2 years, and then his younger sister actually came up and did an internship working for one of the Cape League franchises. So we've been fortunate to host some great kids. We, in fact, hosted Mark Laird out of LSU, and we've traveled to see them play. We've gotten wedding invitations. So it depends on each player and what they're looking for, because they're up here to play baseball. But if you luck out and have host some great kids, then it's a, you know, a new member of your extended family also.
Obviously, the Cape has done such a good job of remaining kind of the, you know, the preeminent place to go in the summer. What do you attribute that to? That, you know, is the rise of the Northwoods League and some different leagues have done a nice job getting talent. But what's been the key for the Cape to stay kind of number one?
I think the proximity of all the fields. We've hosted ourselves, and the Braves in general have had a lot of players that have played in the Northwoods League, because I know we definitely recruit, you know, the previous year's North League, Northwoods All-Stars, but our players are never on the bus for more than an hour. So we are one of the furthest east fields, us in Wareham, and to travel to Orleans and Chatham and Brewster, which is the furthest away, is less than 45 minutes. And I think it's the basicness of the league. What I mean is it's pure. The fields, it's just pure baseball fields, wood bats. The boys can work out in the morning. They can go to the beach on off days, and fans can travel and see more than one game a night. It's a very nostalgic league, and I think the schools recognize that the scouts are coming to the Cape League more than they're even coming to Team USA.
You have a certain number of scouts that just kind of camp up there, you know, camp out up there for a month or two. I mean, does it kind of rotate? What is that situation like?
There's definitely a certain amount of scouts that come to the games. We recognize them. We see them all the time. Each field has a section for the scouts, right? A designated section at every field. It could be quite exciting. We've had various players that go in the first round that are, you know, signed and then are here negotiating for more money, and you'll see based on their performance over the summer that they in fact sign. But there's the scouts seem to get bigger after Omaha, after the College World Series, and then they definitely stay throughout our All-Star game.
You've got Greg Kessinger on your team this summer, shortstop at Ole Miss. Comes from a big-time baseball family, and I would think they'll be up there a good bit. But, you know, you mentioned all the Ole Miss players. You mentioned the Mississippi State players. Is that kind of how it works, though? Is it mostly just connections through college coaches and stuff now? Because I do feel like it's kind of changed from maybe, you know, decades ago or whatever, where they're kind of going around the country and finding kids as the season goes. Because, as you said, the rosters are set so early. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get necessarily. I mean, it could be a situation where kids have improved, or, you know, even maybe leveled out a little by the time you get to your place.
Well, Jake Mangum's a clear example of that. He was not on our original roster. And, you know, due to his success last season or late in the season, is why he ended up on the Cape a year earlier than he expected to be up here. It's definitely connections to the schools or major league scouts, but that is one of the reasons there's, you know, fluidity at the end of the NCAA season and the beginning of our season. But, I mean, it comes and goes. It changes. We've already had some, you know, changes in this upcoming roster. But I know that the player's success, there's always spots on the Cape for someone that deserves to be up here.
I got asked this yesterday. I didn't have an answer, so I'll let you give me the answer now. For juniors that are drafted, and maybe it's a draft and follow situation, or guys that are going to stay, do you just kind of wait and see if you have spots, as you mentioned, or can you always have a couple reserved for situations like that?
That's an interesting situation. Can be tough. That's one of those things that depends franchise to franchise. I know that we do have a player on our roster coming up, Brendan Little, who was at North Carolina and is transferred to a junior college. That's a temporary player versus a contract player if it's a draft and follow. But, you know, usually that depends on our coach's relationship with the college coach or with the major league scouts. But that's becoming quite common. We'd rather the players, in general, I know the league would rather the players come up and play, give us two or three great weeks. It also adds to their, you know, bonus, their success, their draft, I don't know, success, or where they end up going once they sign. If they come up here and do really well for
Is a contract player simply someone that is planning to play all summer? How does that work?
There's someone that's here up to play all summer, and the majority of our players are all contract players. The temporary players, or are to fill the spots of the kids that are, you know, on their way to Omaha in regionals or super regionals, in order so that we can, you know, field a full baseball team at the beginning of the season, or to account for injuries throughout the season, or pitchers that reach pitch counts and need to go back to school.
Ole Miss has 11 kids up there this summer. I know some different people are probably planning to take some trips, follow a lot of those kids, and maybe some Ole Miss fans that are not necessarily from the area but a little closer from Mississippi. What would you kind of advice give as far as where to stay, what should home base be, and kind of how to plan that out to see as many games as possible?
We love that. We've seen tons of Ole Miss state fans, Southern Miss, that I'd recommend is that they stay in what's called the Mid-Cape. Stay in Sandwich, but then they can travel and see games at night if they really wanted to. But I would stay, and you're 20 minutes from each field. Or a PR person, they love to see fans that are following their players, whether they have them out on the field or to throw out a first pitch or, you know, run the bases afterwards. But we saw that a lot last year with people traveling to see Mangum when we were hosting him. But definitely I would stay in the Mid-Cape. They can, you know, spend a day in Boston, go up to Plymouth and see where the, you know, the Pilgrims landed and everything. But staying in the middle of the Cape, what we call the Mid-Cape, will give them an opportunity to see any game.
Right, that makes all sense in the world. Well, Nicole, I really, really appreciate the time today. Safe trip the rest of the way on your travels, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our thanks
to Nicole.
To Nicole. Norkovicius. Norkovicius. Nicole.
Norkovicius.
I think it's Norkovicius.
Okay.
Nicole N.
I'm sorry.
For her time here on the show, and also for joining us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. The Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear. The Rebels in town tonight against the Mighty Lions of Pine Bluff.
Correct.
This weekend against the Mighty Tigers of Missouri. You get to see Lions and Tigers this week in Oxford. All that's missing is some Bears, and I bet Rebel the Black Bear will be there. Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh, my. At Swayze, you wear your officially licensed gear from the Rebel Locker Room when you do it, and you can get tickets at the Ole Miss Ticket Office, olemisstix.com. What else we got today, Chase?
Kind of a
weird day today.
Well, we've got Right Way Meds located in Holly Springs. They deliver your medicine to your door. Check them out. If you need help with compliance, if you're a medical provider or a doctor, they can really hook you up there. Again, give them a call, 662-252-8913, rightwaymeds.com. Comes in strip packets. They manage your medication. They deliver it to your door. Right way, right time for you. So last night, the Kentucky Wildcats beat the Louisville Cardinals in a baseball game in Lexington. They turned a 7-2-6 triple play last night. It's only been recorded once in MLB history, and that was in 1923 for historical reference.
Wow.
7-2-6. Would you like to see it?
Yeah. All right.
We're watching. Fly ball to left field.
Little fly to left.
Catches it. Throws out a runner trying to tag.
What runner's slow? Oh, and then
throws back to the shortstop covering third base to get the trail runner trying to get to third on the throw.
Wow. A bad day for Louisville.
7-2-6 triple play.
What was the final?
11-7 Wildcats.
Yeah. Good for them.
Mingione's done a nice job in year one with the Wildcats. Former state assistants having good years. Butch Thompson at Auburn. Benji on it.
Louisville coach probably calling for Dan's job. Louisville boards.
It's completely on Dan right there, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, who teaches base running there? I'll tell you what.
Well, it was a very shallow fly ball, and the runner going home was incredibly slow.
Scouting report on that left fielder must have said run.
Well, they ran.
Yeah. It wasn't a great throw, but it was a doable throw.
It was on target.
Yeah. Kind of had a loopy loop.
Jackie Bradley wasn't out there, but it was okay.
Yeah. Jackie Bradley wasn't running from third home either.
He's a little quicker than that.
Yeah, that wasn't Billy Hamilton running the bases there. That guy looked like me running the bases.
I think Bradley has the best outfield arm that I've noticed in college. Just the way it looked. Like, it did that balloon golf ball thing where it just...
Yeah. Yeah, he could. He was good.
He's all right.
Probably explains why he's in the majors now. Yeah. Has something to do.
Well, because like, I think Pedro Alvarez is the most talented overall player. Just when you watch him and go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But something about Jackie Bradley playing outfield was fun to watch.
I loved watching him play, period. But Alvarez, best college player I've ever seen in person.
Really?
Yeah.
Think so?
In person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were not going to games or anything. I'm just curious. Like, you wouldn't have seen Dave Magadan in college.
No. I mean, I knew he was there, but no, I didn't see him play.
Okay.
And he wasn't Alvarez. Alvarez.
I think Magadan has the SEC batting average record for a season. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Alvarez was that guy at the college level that not only would punish mediocre pitching, he would destroy it. Tells you how good major league arms are.
He's got a title. He's got a great situation. But Tim Corbin getting beat in his own regional by Michigan. David Price, Pedro Alvarez, Mike Minor, Ryan Flaherty, Casey Weathers, Dominic De La Osa, David Macias.
Yeah.
It's not good.
How'd that happen?
Kid from Michigan was really good that weekend, but still.
He must have been like.
Zach Putnam. Putman. Why do I know that? I think. Checking myself. I think I'm right. What are you Googling?
Not Googling anything.
You're doing something.
Responding to someone.
Cubs, though, are worth 2.675 if you're curious.
I don't quite have enough. Not with the kids getting ready for cars and stuff.
Can't quite pull that off.
I mean, it's just not in my budget right now.
Liquidity. Liquid assets. It's not there.
Yeah, almost. Almost.
Might have the five at the end.
Yeah, maybe. On a good day.
One of the zeros at the end.
On a good day.
The Giants, number five. MLB franchises.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Dodgers and Yankees were 1-2. I started with the Red Sox at 3.
I would assume Yankees are 1. Yeah, you're probably right. Dodgers at 2. Then Red Sox, Cubs, Giants.
Yeah, Mets 6.
Mets are 6.
I hit a button to see if I could find the entire list. Oh, I have it. Okay. Yankees 1, Dodgers 2. Red Sox, Cubs, Giants, Mets, Cardinals. Angels, Phillies, Nationals, your top 10. Rangers, Braves, Astros. 13, 11, 12, 13. Mariners, White Sox, Blue Jays. White Sox should be worth more than that, I would have thought. 15.
Where are the Astros?
13.
13, okay.
Yeah.
Where are the Brewers?
26.
Where's Pittsburgh? They took a hit yesterday.
17.
See this Starlin Marte news?
No.
80 game suspension.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Sorry, I
PEDs.
Did. Yeah. He's beat the Braves one time this year already.
He beat the Cubs on Sunday. I was like, can we have that one back?
It really should not count anymore, should it?
Oh, hey, we just got swept by those guys.
Joe should call the league. Go, hey, I'm playing under protest.
Hey.
Had an illegal player.
None of our players.
Eh.
He might not want to go there.
No, that's not. As everybody would expect, the Rays are dead last. The A's are just one above them, and the Cincinnati Reds are one above them.
I've never been to a game in Cincinnati. I'd like to go.
Ohio's teams are 27 and 28 on the list.
Never been to a game in Cleveland. I've been in the stadium.
For what?
I was there. I've been to Cleveland several times. Covered a NCAA tournament. Covered a Saints game. Remember, I covered a Saints game, and it was the weekend. It was opener, so it was like Labor Day weekend.
2006?
Something like that. And so I had to go to Cleveland on Saturday. And Hilton had screwed up my reservation. And they were getting ready to send me out into like Berea or wherever. And the guy called me on my cell and goes, "Hey, do you like baseball?" And I said, "Yeah, I love baseball." And he goes, "Well, you're about to have a really cool deal. And it's, we're going to just charge you the normal rate because this is our screw up." This is back when I was a platinum VIP.
Rolling.
I mean, I was
from like, a hotel standpoint.
From a hotel standpoint, we don't want to lose him.
Yeah, when you call and they pull up your little account, they become nicer when they access your account.
So they put me up at this top suite in the it was like a Hilton Garden Inn or something, I think. I can't recall exactly. But it overlooked, I want to say, left field of what is Progressive Field. Had his boardroom. And so I sat there, man. I had a bottle of wine. I sat in the boardroom and looked out into the stadium. The Indians were out of town, but it was awesome. I was like, just hanging out here in the boardroom. Had a hot tub in my room, just me. That'd have been a time to be a high roller right there, but it was just me. It's still a good weekend. Texas played Ohio State. They were 1-2 in the country, and I went to a bar down the street. And
just hanging out.
Cheered for the Buckeyes because I was afraid that if I didn't, it might have gotten a little ugly in there.
You cheered for Ohio State?
Not, I mean, I pretended to cheer for Ohio
State.
You
didn't cheer for the Longhorns?
Hell no.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't care enough to do that.
All for the nut.
It was a cool bar, though. I remember, I remember goofy stuff. One of the games on the TV leading up to that was Ole Miss at Missouri. And it was before Missouri was...
It was at 11 a.m. I was in the press box.
Is that right?
In Columbia, Missouri.
If I recall correctly, Mizzou had its way.
Chase Daniel had a great day. Patrick Willis was on the field and valiantly gave an effort, but it was not enough. It was ugly.
Yeah.
And Missouri at that point, their visiting press area was this little just section under the stands. It wasn't even in a room. They just... put tarps up, not very SEC of them, put tarps up around the area. So all the fans are leaving on top. It's loud. You can't hear anything. And you've got Orgeron talking into these microphones where I can't understand him half the time anyway. And then I've got over the top of it, everybody leaving. Couldn't hear crap in your recorders when you got done. I mean, it was kind of like yesterday. It was just not – he might have been there too. We might have had everything going on at one time with that – that situation. But anyway, yeah, Missouri Ole Miss. I told you that's when I sat beside Joe Posnanski, but that was the only time that was the only thing I really remember from that game, other than Chase Daniel having his day. And then Missouri had really good gravy and biscuits that morning for the media.
Oh, that is good.
They had gravy and biscuits, yeah. All right,
I'm reading the Outkick the Coverage mailbag you got sent to me.
It's funny. Yeah, I read it.
Have you read this
one? Yeah,
yeah. T-ball?
Yeah.
The question is, my six-year-old son's T-ball draft is tonight. Am I wrong in making the hotness of any kid's mom an important factor in whether or not I draft said kid? It's a small town, so I know most of the parents. I'm not looking to hook up with any moms, but why not surround yourself with
Yeah, just move
if
on.
If you can, you know. And the answer is, I'm coaching six-year-old baseball right now, and 99% of the entire coaching process is how seriously do you take it. That is true. Like, how loudly can you yell at someone else's kid on second base who is playing in the dirt instead of running to third when the ball gets hit? This reminds me of playing baseball myself when I was 8 years old, and my friend's dad was coaching third base, and one of the kids on my team wasn't watching him, and he was trying to wave him home to score, and the kid just stopped, and he grabbed him by the shoulder and shoved him towards home. And there was a rule back then that you couldn't touch the kids, and so the ump called the runner out because the third base coach touched him. and the third base coach was mortified. But now that I'm coaching kids, I can totally see how this happens because these blanking kids won't blanking listen to you. It happened to me last night. I was giving them, I said, hey, the one thing we haven't done is I haven't given you guys a steal sign. And none of us, I got 12 kids, maybe two can hit. So when we get on base, by God, we're running. And I'm in the, literally 4 seconds into this. Okay, here's the sign. I look up and like four of them, their eyes are off. I'm like, can you not look at me for a minute?
No.
Is the ADD that bad?
Well, I told you about my 12-year-old team back when I coached Dylan. I gave the kid that, bless his heart, great kid, but just couldn't hit a lick. And I gave him the bunt sign because I thought maybe he could get the bunt down. Maybe he could surprise them. They weren't paying attention. Just do something with the bottom of the order. And I walk up, and I'm like, Steven, look, we're going to wait to the very last second, square, and just try to put the bat on the ball. We've worked on this. And I'm whispering. Kid gets in the on deck circle and starts practicing his squaring around. And I'm like, oh my God. No. So yeah. I was like, well, forget it now. Yeah. Go ahead.
Get them. You might have tipped them off.
Yeah. It's like, find a gap. Let's go. So, yeah, that actually gets better as you keep reading, but we won't read the whole thing here. Oh gosh. last thing. Anything going to happen with this Trey Smith, Tony Gray video? It's now surfacing from the Under Armour All-American game back in January. It shows Smith and Gray in a confrontation and then Smith throwing some punches.
I mean, it looks like an assault.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
It does.
If that's my kid being assaulted right there, I would have issue with it. Now, there's an allegation that Smith was responding to a theft involved. So if that's my kid and he stole something, I probably don't want to make it a case.
Think the game and the media covered it up back in January?
Yes.
Probably.
I understand the game covering it up. A little upset at the media covering it up.
Yeah. So it's out there. You can find it. It's on our message board amongst other places. So, We're going to switch gears tomorrow. Again, we'll have Aaron and Ben Napier from hometown, the HDTV show, Ole Miss grads, friends of mine. They will join us for a little conversation about their journey and their show going on now. So that on the Rebel Locker Room tomorrow, Neil.
The podcast has been brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael Oswalt a call. He is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. No one knows that better than he does. Not in this state, anyway. Gotland.com is his website. Go to it. You can read recent testimonials. Ask about his track record. Look online. See what types of properties he has listed. The land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling land, your hunting club share, or a home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call. It's 662-719-3967. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. It's all he wants is a chance to sit down and talk to you. Check out his Facebook page. Send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. The podcast also has been brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB recently played host to the OUB two-man scramble, raised more than $30,000 for scholarships for students from both Oxford and Lafayette high schools. Check out OUB for your consumer and commercial loans needs. They'll tailor those loans to fit the customer's specific needs, and you're going to speak to an underwriter, a loan officer there at the bank, not somebody off in a different town. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Quick note on that, Neil. The 2017 OUB LOU two-man scramble set for June 24th, 25th at the University Golf Course. That's a $175 registration for the two-man scramble. Calcutta dinner in the middle, free beverages, cash prizes, and more. So you can also check that out at olemissalumni.com/events.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Because I was just thinking that.
Hard to believe we're that close to June, isn't it?
Yeah. It's almost May.
And June follows May.
It does.
Almost all the time.
I don't know. I was reading that Dr. Seuss book last night that's the 1st of October or whatever, so now my months and dates are all screwed up.
What other books are you reading?
Oh.
Have you read Goodnight Moon so many times that you can recite it?
I have not read Goodnight Moon once.
Really?
No.
Oh. Well, I know the next gift I'm given.
Well, a lot of Seuss, some Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, that's good.
Goodnight
Moon's a sweet story.
Is it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of more topical books. Like we've got a lot of children's books that kind of at least begin the explanations of adoption and different things. Some things more geared to the situation. Yeah, I don't know. We're just going down the bookcase, literally starting with one and moving all the way through, and then we'll start.
I'm
going
to get Goodnight Moon, and then hopefully she will like it so much that you'll have to read it every night. I read it every night for years, and now I miss reading it.
I'm dreading the music that comes as they get older. Because right now I can just turn something on the Echo and kind of hop around to it no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the Wiggles or something down the road.
You should be.
That's my concern.
You should be.
Because right now the worst thing I have to deal with is that Kids Bop stuff. And okay, it's manageable.
It's manageable. It's not so bad.
No, it's okay.
Sometimes you hear it and you're like, ah, it's got a nice beat.
It would drive you crazy. For some reason, she responds about as well to 80s country as anything else. Yeah.
Need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's better than 70s country.
Better than 70s country. So, anyway, thanks to Nicole for her time today. Again, more guests as the week moves on. Talk to you tomorrow.